The lesson this morning will have an immediate impact upon everyone in one form or another. I want to speak this morning on the subject, Decision-Making 101. Decision-Making 101. Let's bow our heads, please, for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we have come from many places to assemble ourselves here this morning. We began another new year, the first Lord's Day thereof, by stopping to give thanks and to give praise for You. We pray now, Father, that You would help us to focus and to listen with ears, hearts, and understanding for these next moments to set aside those things that may break our train of thought, that we may focus here on Your Word. Bless us in these efforts. We beg for wisdom, understanding, and faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Life is full of decisions. And with every decision, there comes consequences. Generally speaking, when we make good decisions, we will receive good consequences. And when we make bad decisions, we will receive bad consequences. But understand this morning that every day in 2016, you are going to make decisions. And those decisions will carry consequences. And those consequences, to a great, great determination, will decide your 2016. Now, let me begin by illustrating the vast importance that decisions can make and the consequences that they bring. Now, the story that I'm sharing right here, this is history. This is history. In the early 1950s, there was a malaria outbreak on the island of Borneo. So the World Health Organization came together and they made a decision. They decided that they were going to spray the entire island with DDT. And that would kill all of the mosquitoes on the island because it was the mosquitoes that were the carriers of the malaria. So they sprayed the island with DDT. And as a consequence of that decision, they did kill all the mosquitoes. But that decision had other consequences. Because that decision also led to many other of the insects on the island to die. So then the lizards on the island of Borneo, they ate the
poisonous insects. And when these lizards ate the poisonous insects, as a consequence of that, these lizards became poisonous and very sickly themselves. And they became easy prey for the cats that were on the island. So as a consequence of that, there were thousands and thousands of cats that died on the island of Borneo. Now, this is history, and some of you know exactly how this ends. So as a result of all of the cats dying, there was another consequence. There was an unbelievable infestation of rats and all the diseases that rats carry. So the World Health Organization came back together and they made another decision. They said, we are going to airlift cats on to the island. And so they parachuted some 14,000 cats down on that island to deal with the rat infestation. Are you listening? This is all an example of the great power that a decision can have. They made a single decision. We will spray the island with DDT. And as a result of that decision, they killed the mosquitoes that were the carriers of the malaria. But that decision also had some very other dire consequences. Now, preacher, what do you say? Here's what I'm saying to all of us. Every day in the new year of 2016, every day you are going to make some decisions. And every one of those decisions will carry consequences, whether they're good or they're bad, but they're all going to carry consequences. So our question this morning is this. How do we go about making good decisions? That's the question. The question this morning is, what is the single criteria that I can use that will assure me that every decision I make will be the right decision, or at least the right decision in the eyes of God? There's one thing I can do that will assure that. Now, I want you to open your Bible to the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, please, everybody. And if you didn't bring your Bible, there should be one on back of the pew in front of you or somebody who you're seated next to. But I need you to look at Luke chapter 4. And while you find Luke 4, let me tell you how the lesson is going to unfold. This is what we're going to do. Number one, I'm going to share with you the context of Luke 4 so that we know exactly what is going on. Secondly, I'm then going to read Luke 4, verses 1 through 4. Without comment, I'll just read them. The third thing we're going to do is then we're going to go back into those four verses, and briefly, I'm going to comment on each verse so that we get a feel for the actual text itself. And then finally, the fourth thing we're going to do is we're going to step back from all of it and we're going to make one observation from what we learn. Now, let me give you the context of Luke 4. Jesus has just been baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptizer. Jesus is then taken by the Spirit of God, and Jesus is driven out by the Spirit into the wilderness. In the wilderness, Jesus is then tempted for 40 days by the devil. At the end of those 40 days of temptation, Jesus then leaves the wilderness and Jesus will begin His public ministry. Now here's what I want you to understand when I read this. Right here, we have recorded the very first decision that Jesus ever made after His public ministry began. His first decision. Now, Luke chapter 4, you follow along from whatever your translation is, and let me read the first four verses. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And He ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, He was hungry. The devil said to Him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written." It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. Now, brethren, here it is. Here it is. Jesus had to make a decision. Jesus made a decision to say no to what the devil proposed to Him. You got it? Now, let's go back into these verses and acquaint ourselves with them before we make our point this morning. Take a look at verse 1. Verse 1 says that Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. Do you see that, yes or no? Now, I want you to look at the word full. The word there means full to the running over. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit to the running over. John chapter 3 and verse 34 says that Jesus received the Spirit without measure. Now let's take note of that. Jesus was full of the Spirit of God to the running over. Jesus had received the Spirit to where He could not have received any more of it than He did. Yet, the devil tempted Him anyway. Just because you come to church, even though you may love God, even though you may pray every day, even though you may read your Bible every day, the devil is going to tempt you. Now, look at the first part of verse 2. For 40 days, now watch carefully the next expression. Being tempted by the devil. Do you see it? Being tempted by the devil. Now, let's pause and give note to this. Jesus was tempted for 40 days. But the Scripture only records 3 temptations. But do not conclude from that that during those 40 days that Jesus was only tempted 3 times. That is a wrong conclusion. The expression here being tempted by the devil carries with it the meaning that during these 40 days that the devil was constantly tempting him and constantly tempting him and constantly tempting him. This was a constant state of temptations for 40 days. Do you understand that? Now, what's going on here? Let me tell you what's going on here. Brethren, what's going on here is that the spiritual character of Jesus is being tested. That's what's going on here. When these temptations are over, Jesus will begin His public ministry. He will select His apostles. He will select His disciples. They will begin teaching. They will begin preaching. They will begin healing. And the scheme of God will be blown into complete effect over the next 3.5 years. But before that public ministry began, the spiritual character of Jesus is going to be tested. And your spiritual character and my spiritual character is going to be tempted as well. It's going to be tempted as well. It's easy to come into the church building on Sunday morning and shout glory to God, but what are you shouting on Friday night? Our character is going to be tested in life by the devil. Now watch carefully the end of verse 2 and verse 3. And he ate nothing during those days, that is 40 days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. That's an understatement, amen? Look at verse 3.
The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread.
Now listen to me. For 6 weeks, 40 days, Jesus has eaten nothing to prove himself. So the devil tempts him at the end of this 40 days, and what is the temptation? Wouldn't some hot bread and butter be good right now? Are you listening? Brethren, the devil knows right where to hit you. Right where to hit you. And whatever your weak point is, wherever you're vulnerable, the devil will jump on it with both feet to get you to succumb. You say, well, what do I do about that? Brother, here's what you do about that. You have an awareness of that. That's what you do about that. You be aware of that. That's what the devil is doing, and stay on guard with that. Now, brethren, here is the sermon. Here is the pivot that takes us where we're going. Right at that moment, Jesus is standing at the crossroads. He's standing at the crossroads. When this is over, he will begin his public ministry. But right now, right there, standing in that wilderness, as it were, eyeball to eyeball with the devil, Jesus at that instant is standing at the crossroads. Jesus must now decide, am I going to say yes to the devil? Or am I going to say no to the devil? Brethren, Highland, whatever he decides will have consequences. And I'm telling you, in this new year, the first Lord's Day, I am telling you this for a fact, and it applies to every one of us. You have got to make a decision. Are you gonna say yes to the devil, or are you gonna say no to the devil? And understand that whatever you decide, there are going to be consequences. So here he stands at the crossroads. How did Jesus make his first recorded decision at the beginning of his public ministry? Look at verse 4. Jesus answered, it is written. Brother, look at me. How do we make a decision? It is written. What is the single criteria that I can use to assure myself that I am making the right decision? Here's the criteria. It is written. How do you make good decisions? You make good decisions by making the decisions based on what this book says. Now, let's stand back from this and make our one observation. And here it is. My every decision must be based on the Bible. My every Sunday decision must be based on the Bible. My every Monday decision must be based on the Bible. My every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, all the way through must be based on the Bible. My every decision must be based on the Bible. Now, why? Because the Bible is relevant. Now I want every eye, if you've got it open there, every eye, I want you to look at verse 4. Look at verse 4 again. Jesus said, "It is written." Now, just to be helpful, I'm just trying to be helpful. That expression, "it is written," is in a perfect tense. That is a perfect tense verb. What Jesus said to the devil, He said, "Devil, it has been written. It remains written, and it will always be written." That's what He said to him. Now, wait a minute. Wait. In verse 4, Jesus quotes a statement that was made by Moses. Verse 4, "Man shall not live by bread alone." This is a quotation from Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, and the 3rd verse, a statement by Moses. Now wait! In verse 4, Jesus is referencing a verse that when He said it was some 2,000 to 3,000 years old. Listen, the Bible is relevant. And what Moses said in the book of Deuteronomy was just as relevant 3,000 years later when Jesus said it as it was when Moses wrote it in the long ago. I'm telling you, the Bible is relevant, but the Bible is perpetually relevant. I must make every decision based on the Bible. Let's take another half step. What does it mean that the Bible is perpetually relevant. What does that mean? What that means is that the Bible never has to be updated. The Bible is always up to date. That's what that means. Let me illustrate. If you have a smartphone, and all of us do, I think except Cliff Russell, who still has a flip phone that Fred Flintstone used to dial out on. Let's say you download a weather app of your choosing. You download davidfoxweather.com. There is no such thing. So you download it, and then in a couple of weeks or 3 or 4 weeks, this little thing comes up on your phone, and you open it up, and it says, update weather app. And it tells you, I got all these new features, and the big thing is bug fix. Evidently, our phones are just smothered with bugs. But so you update the weather app. So then you go for a few weeks, sometimes even a few days, and this little thingy comes on your phone again, and you scroll it down, and what does it say? Update the weather app. Well, because we got new stuff. Got new stuff. So we update the weather app, and I think, okay, now I'm good. And a few weeks later, this little thing comes back up, and what does it say? Update your weather app. The book that I hold in my hand never has to be updated. It never has to be updated. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 24, Peter said that all flesh is like grass. Well, what does that mean? Peter says all flesh is like grass in that it withers away, but the word of our Lord endures forever. Why does this word endure forever? Why? I got an answer for that. In Malachi chapter 3 and in verse 6, God said, I am the Lord God, I never change. I never change. Do you know what that means? That means way back in Genesis 1. Way back in Genesis 1, that who God was when God said, let there be light, is exactly who God was in the day of Malachi, and it's exactly who God is today, and this endures forever because this is His Word. And I got to make every decision in my life based on this. Listen, every decision of my life has to be based on that book. In 2016, I have got to decide what kind of attitude I'm going to have. I've got to go to this book to make that decision. In 2016,
I've got to decide what kind of a husband and what kind of a father I'm going to be. I got to make that decision based on what this book right here says. In 2016, I've got to decide, how am I going to treat my brothers and sisters in Christ? How am I going to treat my neighbors? How am I going to treat my enemies? How am I going to treat my fellow man? Now, how am I going to make that decision? I've got to make that decision based on that book. Here is the tragedy of our age. The tragedy of our age is that we are answering life's questions based on something other than what the Bible says. Well, this doctor, well, what did Dr. Jesus say? Well, I read this book. Well, what did this book say? Every single day, you're going to make decisions. And every one of those decisions are going to have consequences. If you make your decisions with the devil, you are in bed with one who's going to take you to hell with him. Every decision has a consequence. If that decision is right, generally speaking, the consequence will be right. If that decision is wrong, the consequences will be bad. And a lot of those consequences will not only affect you, but everybody around you. Listen carefully to what the Bible says. We're done. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, the prophet said, O Lord, the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Psalm 119, verse 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 that God has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. If I want to know something about God and godliness, it's right here. But if I want to know something about life, it's right here. Every decision I ever face somewhere in this book, it's talked about, or the principle of it is talked about. I just have to find it. So now on this, the first Lord's Day of 2016, you're about to make a decision. If you're not a Christian, you're about to decide. I'm going with the devil and we leave and here doing nothing. Or I'm going to say yes to God this morning and I'm going to obey the gospel and I'm going to leave here baptized for the remission of my sins. There's others of you here this morning who are Christians, but you've fallen away. You're about to make a decision. Right now, you are either going to say yes to God or you're going to say no. But please understand, whatever you decide, there are going to be consequences. Actions have consequences. What you decide this morning will have consequences. And when they come, you remember this day. If you're not a Christian, become a Christian. If you're away from God, you need to come back. But right here, right now, you will decide as together we stand and as we sing.